Well, good morning again. I know some of you are probably expecting teens and all this to happen, but due to vacations, camp, we just couldn't get together. So unfortunately, you are stuck with me for this morning, and I apologize for that. But hey, you can get your money back at the door. Not really. So after kind of decompressing through VBS, and you're going to see for those that have come or didn't have a chance, those were the four themes that the VBS team really tried to get our young people to understand. And Mike and I had a lot of fun trying to put things together to get the kids to get excited about this and then go on to their classes and to their crafts and do several different things. And so as I was looking at this, I was remembering that, you know what? This was good for me. This was timing for me, because I know sometimes I forget that God made me and that God is for me and that God loves me and he's on my side. As we go through time, and sometimes I think we just get bogged down that we forget about some of these things. And so as I was kind of going through and thinking about, okay, I'm going to be stuck doing this because I can't get the teens and I want to use some of this. But then I turned the TV on. And I almost called 911, because when I turned the TV on, it wasn't on ESPN or ESPN2 or ESPN Classic. I didn't know what happened. It was on the Hallmark Channel for some odd reason. And so here I am, have the Hallmark Channel on, and all of a sudden this Christmas movie comes on. I'm thinking, oh yeah, Christmas in July. And then unfortunately, before I could change it to the station that we all should be watching, my wife sees, wait a minute, that's a Christmas movie. We need to watch it. And I'm thinking, no, we don't. But she wants to watch it, and we watched it. And I don't know about you, but here's how I feel about Christmas movies, especially on Hallmark. The endings are all the same. Every show is the same, except for they just change the name and the characters. They do. And so here, and Logan and I spent a good night trying to convince the women in our family that this is the way it is, but they didn't want to hear it. So here we are watching this movie, and of course we're given our dialogue, which I don't think was appreciated, which kind of hurt my feelings, but it is what it is. So as we're going through this, I'm thinking, this is it. Man and a woman, sometimes they know each other, sometimes they don't, and they don't get along with each other, and then all of a sudden, you know, something magical, this mystery, romantic music comes on, and you know, there it is. It changes everything. All their troubles are gone, and then they fall in love, and they live happily ever after. So I've wrecked every Hallmark movie for you for the rest of your life. Now, as I was sitting there, I'm thinking, you know what? How nice it would be if our troubles only lasted 60 or 90 minutes. It would be really cool if that happened. But unfortunately, sometimes it happens for us. It lasts for years. And sometimes we have to battle through things. And then I sat there and began, my mind starts really going again. And then I thought, how many times would life be better if I just allowed God to work in me and through me? I think sometimes we just decide, you know what, God, I can handle this. I'm going to put you on the shelf for this game, and I'm going to handle the storm on my own. And it just ends up kind of being worse than when we started. And so as we go through this, I want you to think about what it would be like if we did spend more time in prayer during our troubles. And then here's the other thing that I want us to really consider, and I think this is why we're here together. God gives us this really cool support system called a church. And in Scripture, we're told that we're to bear each other's burdens and to love each other. We've just heard several scriptures about how we are to love each other and how we're to be together and to bear each other's burdens. And I believe that people are put in our lives by God to help us through those burdens. I truly believe that. But here's the flip side to this, and something I don't think we really, really think about it too often. Sometimes we're put in people's lives to help them through their storm. And here's the key. That person that God put in your life may not be at the top of your friend list. Because God doesn't always work what we think is the obvious way to do it. He works the way he knows is best. And sometimes that person that we need to deal with is somebody that maybe we don't get along with too well. And so as we go through, and as I was thinking about what we should say, and I'm looking at this thing and I'm thinking, man, all that tells me right there is something that we in the youth group called L1 and L2. L1 is love God, L2 is love others. And it is absolutely impossible to have one without the other. It is. And we've talked about that in our youth group, that you can't have one without the other. And when God says love God and love others, there's no stipulations, there's no fine print. There's no lawyer, sorry, Larry. There's no lawyer that comes on and gives you all this. Have you ever noticed on some of these commercials, this lawyer comes on like a car, but then they give you all these exceptions and rules. And I don't know if they take, I'm convinced that part of one of the law school things they go to is an auctioneer school, because all of a sudden this person speaks so fast you can't understand a word they're saying. And so God doesn't do that. He says, love God, love others, period, unconditionally. That's what he calls us to do. And so if Jesus is our example, and if we look at this, Jesus did that for us. He died on the cross for us. He left heaven to come and die for us while we were still a mess. We had baggage, we've got luggage, we've just got all these troubles, and Jesus said, I'll still die for them. And he did. And the funny thing about Jesus is Jesus seems to go to the extreme. I don't know why, but he does. And sometimes I'm going to be honest. Maybe this is a confession. It's irritating sometimes. Because God says, not only do I want you to love God, I want you to love others. And here's the one that just really gets me. He says, I want you to love your enemies. And I sit back and I say, wait a minute. I had these thoughts. And I can't imagine if I was there, I'd have to say, this thought comes to my mind. I'd have to say, Jesus, are you serious? Or the real phrase that's said in our lot in our house when something's just really not right is, you got to be out of your mind. You want me to love others. And I want you to go back to the cross where Jesus was. And as he was dying and as he was hanging there, out of love for us, he looked down at his enemies and he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If that's not one of the greatest acts of love you've ever seen, I don't know of another one. And here's the real thing that I love the way God works. When we go out and bless people and love on them, God returns a blessing to us. I'm going to give you an example that just hit me, and I'm guilty for picking out most of the songs. And the one song I picked, which I shouldn't have picked because I knew I was going to come up here and talk, was It Is Well With Your Soul. And if I tear up, I apologize. But about a couple years ago, we were in Minnesota on a time team trip. And the minister, Steve, who most of you know, was there. And he said, I want us to go to another home that's housing people. People go to Minnesota. They go to the Mayo Clinic to get things taken care of, and they get treatments done. And there was a member of the church in this other facility because it was handicapped and he needed that. And so he said, I want us to go and sing to him and try to encourage him. I said, yes, let's go. So we get in our vans and we go there, and we get there. And for those that were there, remember his name is Sam. Sam is amputated from about just above his wrist down on both arms. His legs are both amputated about the knee down. So he's in a wheelchair. His wife's there. His daughter actually quit her job so she could move up there because Sam had to have treatment every day. And so they sold their house and they moved up here. And what I didn't realize as we were singing a couple songs, it was shared that Sam was a worship leader and he loved to sing. And so we sang about 4 or 5 songs, and then Sam goes, and you got to understand, he couldn't really sing very well. He had a hard time talking. And so he said, I would love for you guys, if you know the song, It Is Well With My Soul. Okay, here we go. So we start singing it, and then we're singing it, and as we get to the chorus, and here we are trying to encourage this guy, and I'm looking at this guy with the amputations. I look, and we sing to the chorus, It Is Well With My Soul, and I look over, and he's raising his arm saying, it is well. He's basically saying, I'm okay no matter what is happening to me. I'm good with God. Here I am, the youth group. We're trying to encourage this guy. And I walked out more encouraged than when I got there. And I said, that's how God works. When we love each other, God is going to find a way to bless you. He will. And that's what's so important. We're not going to be long today. I know that's probably going to upset most of you. But I just want to leave you with a few things. And I just want to remind you, God loves you. We read John 3:16. God loves you enough that he sent his one and only son. You know, this is a Timism. God looks at Jesus, I need you to go down there and die on the cross. Done, he goes. Jesus loves you. We read in Romans 5:8 how Jesus left heaven. And while we were still sinners, while we still had all this baggage, and while we were still messed up, he still died for us. And as I was talking with the teens and them, I said, you know what's refreshing about that verse? Is that I don't have to reach a plateau of goodness in order to receive the love of God. That's refreshing to me. That he can just say, you know what? Here you are, you're down here. I'm going to die for you anyways because I love you. That is so refreshing. The other thing that's also refreshing is we cannot be separated from God, not from his love. No matter how messed up we do things and how bad we sin, and all sin's the same, but no matter if we turn our back or we deny Jesus, he still loves us. And that's so refreshing. I remember that one of my kids, they were getting ready to leave for college. I'm not going to mention my oldest name because I don't want to embarrass her. And I said to her, it's a shame you're leaving. Some of you heard the story. I said, I'm starting to like you again. She says, what do you mean like me? I said, well, I'm going to be honest. You were kind of a snot to me a lot. And she goes, I was? I said, yeah. But Dad, I said, no, I didn't have to like you. I have to love you, but I didn't have to like you. And of course, she's changed now, and she's this beautiful woman that Mom and I are very proud of. But God loves us. He may not be happy with our actions and our choices, but at the end of the day, he always loves us, and he always will. And the other thing, the last thing I want you to think about and leave with is we're called to love each other. That's what I started out this morning with in our shepherd's call and our call to worship is we're called to love each other. And that means if somebody's struggling with something, we go and help. Don't ask questions. We're not the judge. We are the last people to be judging anybody. That's for God to do. But we're just to be there and to love each other and support each other. That's what I think God created the church for, was to have that firm foundation of support system. When things are going bad, you got that support system. I shared with the teens earlier this morning in our class, I said, one of the biggest support systems that the time I needed it was when my brother was killed in a car accident. That was difficult for me. And me and God, man, we had it out. We had an argument until I finally calmed down and people were praying for me to get an understanding. I'll tell you what, couldn't have done it without the support system. It's so important. And I want us to make sure that we, as a church body, we rely on each other and that we're there for each other and that we do love each other unconditionally. So I'm going to leave you with a question and a challenge. And the question is this. Do we live like we're loved and valuable to the Creator? Do we live that way? Do we actually live like we're loved and we're valuable to the Creator? What does that mean? That means, are we doing the L1 and L2? Are we loving God and loving others? You know, that means even when you're in a car and somebody cuts you off, you need to L2 them. You love them. I know some other things may come to your mind and it's not fair and it's not right. I mean, being in a car is probably one of the most difficult things to be a Christian. You know, people cutting you off. But we are called to be different. And the only way, in my understanding of the scriptures, the only way we're going to make a difference in this world is if we love people. Even if we love people that we don't like or they don't like us, we love them. Jesus showed us that. He was beaten, he was hung on a cross, and he still forgave people. Out of all the people in the world that probably could have got away with not forgiving people, my book would be Jesus, because he was definitely put on in a place that he shouldn't have been, but he chose to do it. So as you leave today, I want you to think of, are you living the way God wants you to live, you're loved? Are you living that way? The challenge that I want you to do is this, and this is what I'm asking, is that you find someone that you may not know and you show them what love is. Go out of your way, and it may be inconvenient. And as I tell sometimes the teens, I don't want to do this. I said, do you think it was convenient for Jesus to die on the cross? You think that was in his daily planner? I'm going to die on the cross. You know, he did it because that was the right thing to do. And sometimes doing the right thing may be inconvenient. Sometimes doing the right thing is just, you just have to go on above and beyond what you've been called to do. And so what I'm going to ask you to do is to do this. Now, if you want to even make it even a harder challenge for those that like to go the extra mile, how about this challenge? That person that's not so high on your friend list, go out of your way and love them. Why? Because Jesus would. And if we're going to do what Jesus would do, then we would need to do that. One thing that Mike and I tried to tell the teen or tell the young people was, this is your blueprint. We constantly went over it over and over again. You want to know about how to love and know about Jesus? Spend time in the Word. It's going to tell you exactly what to do. And everything that you've heard as far as scriptures and what we're telling you is right out of this book. Because if it had to do with me, I wouldn't say go love your enemy. I would say tolerate your enemy. But it ain't about me. It's about Jesus. And Jesus said, love. And that's what it's about. And I don't know where you are as far as your struggles. You may be going through a storm right now. And I want you to do one thing. One is rely on God. Pray. Pray. Rely on God. He is there for you. Whether you can see him physically or not, he is in your presence. And he will never fail you. We talked about it this morning. Don't put your faith in men and women because they'll fail you. Put your faith in God because he will not fail you, period. And so as you're going through your battles and your storms, rely on God. And the other thing I want to encourage you to do is let's rely on each other. Let's be there for each other. Let's do the L2 to not only each other here, but to the people we come in contact with. Maybe you're going out to lunch today, or maybe you're going to go visit somebody. You know, ask somebody if you could pray for them. Tell you what, that's a great place to start. So this morning, if you have a need and you're going through a storm and you want to make it known to this church body, you know, we're going to sing a song in just a minute. You can come forward. And if it's something you want to talk to in private, you know, just grab an elder and their wife and they'll go with you. You don't have to drag them. They'll go right with you and you can have a conversation with them as well. But today, what we want you to do is just to really rely on God. Jesus showed us the way. He was the example. Jesus and God are not asking us to do something that they haven't already done. Jesus has walked in our shoes. And so if you have a need, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing.